Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with José of Wiyamo. How are you, mate?
Yeah, fine, thank you.
I got a nod there. I think our listeners know that my pronunciation of difficult European names
was excellent,
terrible.
Excellent.
It was all right, wasn't it? I've had people tell me it's José and it's José, but it's actually José.
Yeah, because my native language is French, so it's pronounced the French way, José.
Perfect, perfect. Now, you are someone I really wanted to interview for quite a while, and when I stumbled across you at the London National Wine Fair, I thought all my Christmases had come to at once, because you and Jancis and Julia had written the Wine Grape book, which I think is a brilliant book.
Thank you.
Excellent. And you were the scientist behind it, really, weren't you?
Yeah, I was trained as a grape geneticist, and my topic is called empelology, which is a strange name, but very simple in etymology. Empelos is the Greek for grapevine, and logos, the Greek for science. So basically, I'm studying grapevines.
Okay. Empelology.
Empelology.
Empelology. I tell you what, after a glass or two, you don't really want to be doing that, do you? Okay. So, and you're a geneticist, is that right?
Yeah. Right.
So what does that, where did you train? We're going to talk about the book, but I'll just get a bit about background about yourself.
Okay.
Where did you train?
I was trained at the University of Lausanne in Switzerland, where I was born. And I was doing a PhD thesis on what we call molecular systematics. That is the classification of families or genus of plants through the DNA analysis. Mm-hmm. And I was working on a special plant, and we were, I think, three people in the world interested in this topic, which is like a PhD used to be. And later on, I wondered, can I do the same with grape varieties? Because I was a wine lover at the same time. And I realized that somebody had already thought about that before. Mm-hmm. It was in California at UC Davis, yep. University of California in Davis. And Carol Meredith, the professor there, discovered in 1997 the parentage of Cabernet Sauvignon. Which was Cabernet Franc crossing with Sauvignon Blanc, yep. Spontaneously in natural way. So I said, wow, that's amazing. I want to try the same technique on Swiss grape varieties. And nobody had done that before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I came up with a project. I got money from the government to go to the US to Carol Meredith's lab and to learn the technique. And that was the starting point of my empelologist career.
Oh, really? Oh, so you went to the US to learn how to do it?
Yeah, not only to learn how to do it, but also to work on Swiss grape varieties in the US.
Yeah, because Swiss,
which is strange.
Swiss wine isn't exactly the hotbed of the wine industry. It's nice stuff.
Yeah, the problem is we have excellent wines in Switzerland. I'm not saying that because I'm Swiss. We have excellent wines, but the export is still very low.
Yeah.
We export 1% of the production.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to increase the export. And whenever I can help that, I do.
Yeah, no, I went to Switzerland a few years ago and I brought back quite a few bottles of wine with me, yeah. Which is quite nice.
A lot of indigenous varieties that are very interesting.
Mm. I think I mainly focused on the Châtelet, to be honest, which isn't quite. Is it indigenous?
It is indigenous. Yes, yes. I made a whole study on Châtelet to show that it comes from the Lake Geneva area.
Okay, around Vaud, isn't it?
Yeah, but I try to not give modern frontier when I speak about the origin of a grape, because I keep telling people Châtelet existed long before the local frontier did exist.
Yeah.
So either the Swiss side or the French side of the lake, it did exist there. Then the political borders came after.
Oh, okay, yeah. Now, fair enough. So let's talk a wee bit about your book. How did the book come about? Did you go to Jancis? Did she come to you? What was the process?
Well, I was at University of California in Davis together with Carol Meredith, and I did my postdoc research there for 1 year. And after I finished my postdoc, Carol retired, which was not my fault because she was moving to Napa Valley to make wine with her husband. Mm-hmm. So after that, I went to Italy. And 2 years later, Jancis Robertson would contact Carol Meredith, asking her to update the Oxford Companion to Wine in terms of recent discoveries in grape genetics. And she answered that she was out of business. She was too busy making wine. But there was this Swiss guy who spent 1 year in her lab. He's very passionate about grape varieties. He's now in Italy. You might want to contact him. So one day in 2004, I received an email from Jancis Robinson. Later on, I told her that I thought it was a spam, because usually you don't get an email from Jancis.
No.
And she was asking me to update the Expert Companion to Wine, which I did, with an idea in mind. 2 years later, 2008, I suggested Jancis Robinson and her full-time assistant, Julia Harding, to write a book about the stories on the most widespread and well-known grape varieties. I was thinking of a six-month work together with her and to release a small book for the people. And then Jancis very cleverly suggested us to make a book about all the grape varieties that are used to make commercial wine in the world, which was quite a different amount of work. And it took us 4 years until the book was out in late October, early November 2012. So it took us 4 years to gather all the information and to put all the things together. And the result is 1,280 pages, 3 kilograms, more than 1 million words.
I described it as a brilliant doorstop if you don't like to read thick books.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And how many grape varieties did you say?
We have 1,368
in
the book.
Yeah.
But since the book is out, we've had many informants telling us, well, this grape is not in. So most of the time I could answer, well, it is in, but the name you're using is just a synonym. Mm-hmm. But look at the index at the end and you will find your grape. But some of them were not in. We knew that we did our best to include everything that was cultivated on Earth in 42 different countries, including recent hybrids, complex hybrids from all over the world and indigenous varieties from all over the world. But we knew that also some of them we would have missed. So last January, I set up an online competition on our website through the social medias, especially on Twitter, to ask people, if you find a variety that is not in our book and that is or was commercially available at the time the book was out, I will send you a Swiss bottle of wine, a very nice Swiss bottle of wine, to thank you, and we will include it in the next edition in a few years from now. And in 1 month, the 10 winners were set. I only had 10 bottles available. So in 1 month, 10 winners had found obscure varieties. Most of these varieties are cultivated by only one single grape grower somewhere in Italy or in other countries. So today, the amount of grape varieties that are cultivated on Earth is more than 1,400.
Yeah.
And probably if we do a second edition, I don't know, in 5, 10, 15 years, I don't know, it will be over 1,500, I guess.
And these are the commercial varieties as well. I sat in on a presentation you gave at the London International Wine Fair, and you said that these are the commercial varieties, but there are repositories of genetic banks of grape varieties. So how many of those do you think are kicking around?
Yeah, we don't know the exact number. We always say between 5,000 and 10,000 of them, because not all the grape collections have been investigated genetically yet. And you can have the same grape variety under two different names in two different collections. And as long as you don't compare them, the easiest way is to use the DNA profile. You don't know that they are the same. So we did not want to include them. Otherwise, the book would be huge. It would be three volumes at least. We only focused on grape varieties that are cultivated to make wine that is available commercially, because our first aim is for the wine drinker to have the right, the correct information. So it's really a reader-oriented book, and it's not complicated at all. Anyone can read it. Anyone with two eyes and a basic knowledge of English can read it. There is no technical word. There is no complex concept and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, well, it's there's no technical concepts. You're right. However, you've got to be pretty engaged to really enjoy the book.
Oh, yeah, you've got to be interested in grapes, of course. Okay.
So you're saying there may be between 5,000 and 10,000 grape varieties, possibly unique grape varieties.
Yeah, but most of them are sleeping in grape collections and are not cultivated anymore.
How does a grape sleep in a collection?
Well, sleeping in terms that they are maintained alive. In terms of rows of 10 vines, for example, that's the basic number that they use in grape collections. So you have 10 vines of this particular variety that are kept alive. But I say sleeping because they are not cultivated commercially.
Yeah. Okay. No one's making wine out of them.
Not making wine out of them.
Yeah, because 10 vines, you're probably not making enough to make a proper... In fact, I went to Geisenheim a while ago. And I was talking to the guys there about it. And they were saying that, you know, it's very hard to make small runs of wine. You know, they've got a library, like you say, and they can't really make wine out of it because the style of wine you get from, say, 10 vines is quite different to the style of wine you'll get from 100 vines, even though you try and scale it down.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they call micro vinification. So if you make a wine under than 100 liter of volume, it's very difficult to avoid oxidization, to avoid different problems in vinification. But they do this in order to make some measurements of the acidity, the sugar, and have some technical information on the wine before planting it.
Yeah, and also the staff party at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not commercial, you couldn't possibly sell it.
Exactly.
Brilliant. How's the book selling? Is it selling well? I bought it as soon as I could get a copy.
Okay. Well, it's selling very well. Yeah. We have a lot of laudatory comments from all over the world. We've got recently the 5 major awards in the world after the book was released. The latest was in the UK, Fortnum & Mason, Best Drink Book 2012. The book has been nicknamed the Bible of Grapes, which I think is very nice for us.
Yeah.
And, well, it's selling very well. Of course, the average wine drinker who sticks to Cabernet and Syrah will not find this book very interesting. But people curious enough to go off the beaten path and curious to try different grape varieties will find this book fascinating. If you take just Italy, we have 377 grape varieties that are cultivated in Italy to make wine. It's a fantastic playground. If you want to change the taste, the region, the wine style, it's never ending. It's fascinating. Even us, of course, we have not tasted all of them. We would need several lives, I think, to do that. But it's really exciting to discover new aromas, new styles, new tastes. And I think people are requesting that kind of diversity. They get bored to have Cabernet everywhere, Chardonnay everywhere. I don't have anything against these grapes.
No.
But they want some novelty. And novelty comes from the past in this case, because it's the heritage that we have in each country from the old wine growers.
Do you see your role as partly as a historian?
Yes, of course. Well, I was trained as a geneticist. So when you make a genetic discovery, then you have to compare it with history. And you have to think, how is that possible that these two grapes crossed together naturally, spontaneously in the vineyards? And today they live in different countries. So you have to look back at history and find out probably that one colony of this country is known to have settled in certain place in the other country, and then you can explain why they took grapes with them and why these grapes came to live together, have children, and make new varieties.
Excellent. All right, Jose, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Great book, and certainly if you're big into wine, you should definitely get it. Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.